Dear Cheap Astronomy, how did the lunar rovers work? Everyone loves rovers. The Americans, the Russians, and the Chinese have all roved on the moon now. India is planning to be next, as are a number of private enterprise outfits. The current distance record for a rover on a celestial body is held by Opportunity, which after 10 years on Mars has covered over 40 kilometers, way ahead of Curiosity's 9 kilometers to date, although it seems likely that Curiosity will eventually take that title, at least for a while. But anyway, that's the robot's story. The human-driven lunar rovers were also remarkable, seeming, as some conspiracy theorists have proposed, to have appeared out of nowhere during the course of the Apollo landings. However, not all the Apollo landings were the same. Apollo 15, 16, and 17, also known as the J missions, landed with upgraded extended mission lunar modules. The descent engine's size and power were increased to allow them to soft land with more payload. In total, the extended mission modules were an extra metric ton in mass over the earlier versions, and about 200 kilograms of that extra mass was a lunar rover, folded and flat-packed onto one side of the square body of an extended mission module's descent stage. Other enhancements to the extended mission modules allowed two astronauts to stay on the moon's surface for over 3 days, something that the modules on Apollo missions 11 to 14 could never have managed. Those enhancements included a waist drain that went from the cabin to a holding bay in the descent stage, and the less said about that, the better. Anyhow, the Lunar Roving Vehicles, or LRVs, were pretty nifty, even if they weren't that fast. Gene Cernan holds the extraterrestrial land speed record of 18 kilometers an hour, achieved while driving Apollo 17's rover. Each rover was controlled by a T-shaped hand controller situated between the two seats. Pushing it forward moved the rover forward, and a forward pivot movement provided throttle control, that is, making it go slow or go fast. Moving the controller left or right steered the rover left or right. You could also put the rover in reverse by flicking a switch before pulling the controller back. And when you arrived at your destination, pulling the controller all the way back activated the parking brake. As with any powered vehicles, particularly ones that operate in a vacuum, cooling was a big issue for the LRVs. The batteries and electronics were passively cooled, using thermal capacitors and radiating surfaces. While driving, those radiators were covered with mylar blankets to minimize dust accumulation. The blankets wouldn't blow away since, you know, no atmosphere. Then, after stopping, the astronauts would open the blankets and carefully remove excess dust from the radiating surfaces with hand brushes. Cooling really was a big issue. The rovers had an onboard computer, which was fed data from a directional gyro and an odometer, so the astronauts could find their way back to the lunar module. In the event of a total systems failure, there was also a kind of sundial that would help point them in the right direction back. Since the sun only shifts in the moon's sky as the moon turns once in its 27-day orbit of Earth, the sun's shadow would hardly move at all over the course of 12 to 24 hours. Incidentally, while the rovers did cover large distances, those distances were mostly concentric circles around the location of the lunar module. The astronauts were never allowed to drive further away from the lunar module than the distance over which they could conceivably walk back in the event of a breakdown. The Apollo 17 crew managed to stretch this out to 7.6 kilometers. That sounds like a long way to walk in a bulky spacesuit, but in 1/6 gravity, it wouldn't have been so bad. This is Janet for Cheap Astronomy. www.cheapastro.com.